So let's dig into that, where we embrace the mess, indulge the subversive, celebrate the struggle, and shake our shame. This is a call to connect. It's permission to be vulnerable, curious, and human. Thank you so much for being with here with us here today.
We got to stop with the Seinfeld references.
I know. Hello. We're getting in trouble. Hello. That voice you hear, I am with my goofy-footed trailblazer, the wisdom to my wit, the giggle in my gusto. It's the lyrical wind whipper, JTC.
I love it.
You're welcome.
Also, just to clarify, goofy-footed on a skateboard and snowboard. That's what she means.
Yeah, he doesn't have a weird foot.
My feet are good.
But that's what it's called. My feet are good.
And the person who just did that intro for me, of course, is she is the master of positive spin. She can grin through a loss and make it a win. She brings the warmth on a cloudy day because she's all about action and not just what people say. It's Jordan, everybody!
That was lovely. Very nice. Thank you. Yes, you're Seinfeld representative.
So I've got something.
Great.
There is a lot of change going on a massive scale in the world.
Yes.
And in our intro, often we reference how we want to change the world. And I just want to take a step back real quick. And so people realize, like, we know that this podcast, maybe it has the possibility of changing your world. And that's what we mean by that. And I, so I want to... Exactly. I want to take the concept of change.
I love that we're changing worlds. I'm like, if I could change someone's drive to work, that's making me feel pretty good. If I can give you a nugget of hope.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. But I think we all feel that, like, drop in our stomach, the uncomfortableness that comes with change of any kind.
It's true that we throw it around like lasting change and we're all about it and all this growth, and it sucks.
Let's put our money where our mouth is. Yes. And talk about change. And yes, it sucks. It's terrifying.
And so what you're saying is we are not changing the world, but we can still talk about change.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't know if I was ready.
Well, when you say the word change, I think immediately with what's going on in the world, that's what I'm talking about. Let's take this small scale. Let's talk about you and
micro
me.
Micro it up.
Let's micro this. And okay. Let's talk about change. And I want to start by saying, why is it so scary? I hate change so much.
I love that you brought it up where, yeah, on the scale of change adverse, you know, the risk adverse, I do think that I'm probably a little more change savvy, roll with it.
Well, yeah.
So we are in agreement that, yes, the Coppingers are not known traditionally for, in your particular family, for any of you, love and change.
No, and even on like the smallest scale possible, like if I knew we were going to dinner on Friday night to a particular restaurant, I would look at the menu and I would look forward to it. And then if we got there and that place was closed, my instant reaction is like, never coming back. Done.
It is a full on temper tantrum.
Let's go to sleep. Never...
JT's reaction, and again, we understand that you're like, oh, a Friday night, why would this restaurant be closed? It happens to us all the time.
We live in the boonies.
We live in a very unique spot and love it. But rolling with that type of a situation is something that, yeah, we just reference it. We're like, oh, county night. It's just part of living in this county. And so, but JT's full on, like, the sky is falling, henny freaking penny, has been such an entertaining watch to a certain degree, but I fear that I'll have nowhere to eat because he's like, not patronizing. I'd hope they don't own other restaurants because we're like taking on the whole family. And so I'm working on it.
You are different.
I'm different. I am. And I think my only child skills may play into the fact that...
Oh, you're going back to your childhood? I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do. I'm good. Because I'm thinking, yeah, I'm like, what caused us to be so insanely different? Because, yeah, like, I plant little tiny tidbits to get you geared up for a potential... I get a change aroma flowing in the house to kind of, like, baby step in.
You do my prep work for me, yeah.
Yeah, I think I was raised with two super cool parents who, when they got divorced, were both very active in my life, but it was, here's what we're going to do, and here's what's going on in my adult life that you're going to tag along to
right.
and figure out how to fit in. You're going to be making friends or entertaining yourself. And so I didn't have the babysitter, perhaps, type vibe of like, oh, we're all going to be home because mom yeah. and dad are going to do their thing. So change was the norm.
I think that that is very perceptive of you.
Well,
sorry.
Thank you. I'll take that perceptive
because
point.
I think you're absolutely right. You were trained from a very young age to be adaptable. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's clutch when we're talking about change.
Yes.
And we started with a very small sort of, hey, the restaurant's closed kind of thing. And that can be enough to send me through. But you handle those kind of situations. I want to toot a little bit.
Well,
because
okay.
I think,
early.
I think you're absolutely dead on that you handle those. You're so much more adaptable than I am in the moment. What about on a grander scale? Like those changes that you see coming in the future, like let's say it's a career change or you're moving towns or something big. How do you handle that fear? Because I'm not good at that either.
Okay.
But I'm getting better and I'm learning. And so I like to think there's a lot of growth there. But how do you handle...
The word that comes to mind with childhood JT is resistance.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that I was, in a great way, not allowed that opportunity to resist. It was, this is going down. Buckle up, buttercup. Like, have your shoes uh-huh. on. We're rolling. And there you put your foot down as a little kiddo. You had some big personality.
Yeah.
And I think that this has been confirmed, that you won some of those resistance battles. That it
yeah.
was fine, we're not going, or he's staying here, or whatever the case. That so your dislike of that fear sensation,
uh-huh.
I think is because you've got some, like, I have to win, which is usually my jam. And so even if it is way out on the horizon, you are just swimming in that fear of how can I make this different, deny it, win it, where I'm going, I'm going to have to accept that shit is what it is because this is what we're doing. And so I don't have as much resistance, which I think is the hardest part.
Well, I think we all feel that natural resistance. Like,
it's, oh, of course.
This is something we all deal with.
I've been trained uh-huh. in the, like, tightening that time up where it's like, oh, I hate this. This is so bad and ick and not my idea. And I had to train myself on how can I make this situation work for me? Like, how can I turn this
wow.
into a little spin? And I think that takes some cool parenting and some innovative brainstorming as a kiddo. But you were going, how am I going to get out of this? And I'm going, how am I going to make the most of it?
100% correct. And you're blowing my mind a little bit right now.
It's
like,
rare. It's rare
well,
now.
I really think when we're talking about change on any scale, it really does come down to, can you accept this? Like, that is the biggest element of...
It's coming.
It's going to happen. Change mm-hmm. is inevitable. Mm-hmm. It will happen. The quicker you are to accept it is how you have been able to manage in your life.
Yes. And acceptance does not mean like for me. Like,
oh,
it
yeah?
doesn't mean I'm like, yay, I'm suddenly going to be like, well, this is the new thing. But it's like, okay, this is my new situation. This is my circumstance. I'm still going to have to take some Jordan ownership and put my own spin on it in
wow.
there.
I swear on my life, this wasn't intentional. But did you hear the first line of your intro today?
No.
She's the master of the positive spin.
Oh, I did hear your intro. I was like, what
did
I say?
She can grin through a loss and make it a win.
So I didn't want to point it, but you kind of hit it on the head.
Boom!
But it's true. Our relationship, me watching this beautiful titty baby meltdown, I'm just teasing. But watching his spirit get crushed when I'm going like, that doesn't even register for me. I'm like, oh shit, next plan. Is kind of my mode. And so to be able to have the
looks
opportunity.
Looks like we're eating Italian.
Yeah. But JT, like my app, if it is restaurant closed, to use that example, truly my honey here is let's go to bed. Let's end the madness and disappointment. And we're just going to
start fresh tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to lash out about this restaurant and all the idiots that work there or don't work there. And then after the lashing is done, then we're going to sleep it off. And magically the world is going to be as it is the next day. Full of change. Yeah. Full of change on its own.
Well,
and I see 85 options.
Yes.
I'm thinking from Bed Picnic to any other restaurant. To literally, I can even try my best to stay in the wheelhouse of cuisine type. And so I make a party. And that is really true that I have been, I think... I'll ask you, have I been beneficial in your approach to
massively,
unexpected change?
Massively, because right now we're talking about something so small scale as a restaurant. Kind of ridiculous, titty baby, deserving. Yeah. So, no, it's but, loving, it, but we're using an example. But let's take that up a notch to like a bigger thing. I do the same actions in major, let's say, in major elements of my life. Let's say there's a career change.
Mm-hmm. And so you know it's coming. Like.
Yeah. Let's say, you know, the company's closing or something along those lines. If I one day I could love my boss and then I learn that my job's going away, I'm going to demonize that dude. And it's going to be so instantaneously where it's like, oh, Brad is the nicest. I'm so lucky to work for this guy. And then in 24 hours, I'm like, Brad is such an asshole.
As a
That's
partner-
like my go-to. Because it makes me feel better.
It does make, it is a coping mechanism. And boy, is it a trip to try to track. Because in that moment, you're like, oh, the Brad we love, the Brad I literally wrote a card to his wife yesterday. Like, what is happening? And it's true. And I think that's an excellent point because that fear, of course, we lash out. Like, that is our just teeny tiny baby response inside that's like, not good. You know, like the shame and guilt, like it all gets tied up in their frustration and it comes out like a little, So that doesn't go away, but I think the honing of how you feel about that, but you looking ahead to the demonizing of Brad, where I see that is, oh man, I got 6 months to look for a new gig.
Wow.
And Brad's going to write me a great recommendation because I haven't cursed at him.
I don't do things like that.
And so it does suck. And you have to go through, like, what are we going to do in financial crisis? Like, there's so much, like, it is that stress, you know.
Yeah, you're going
to. Glommed up in there.
You're going to feel the effects. Your stomach's going to drop. Your mouth's going to go dry. You're, like, the fear sets in when change is approaching. How do we prepare?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's inevitable. What are we going to do when we're facing a big challenge ahead of us and we see it coming, how do we make sure that we're prepped?
In lieu of lashing out to those around
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I'm trying to get more on your level here because you, I love, I'm, our I seats agree. Are, this sort of feels like the hot seat a little bit here because this is an area where I've always struggled. You know what I mean? This is not, I don't like change and I avoid it at all costs. Like I would rather stay in my comfort zone. And so what do you do when you know it's
coming?
It's
very cozy there. And again, I think it was like trial by fire. But I think about a beautiful familial example when your sister, who might be the most perhaps open to change, she and I might communicate in code about it sometimes, but she made a dramatic, still marrying the same man, but she went from the full party and the weekend and all the things and the matching dresses to quick on the beach, elope.
Uh-huh.
And that was going to be lots of plans were happening, big, big change of much less planning. And she called your mom and gave her this information, this scenario, and said, here's my decision, and said, I'm turning off my phone and getting on this airplane. We'll talk in 3 hours. That was a great approach.
Yes.
In that family. Because how, what was your mom's, do you think, if you had like.
She called me right away.
That sounds right.
And she said, this is insane. Your sister's going to get married in like a week and a half.
I loved it.
Here. And it was startling. It was shocking. It brought up that fear of, wow, things are changing and they're changing fast. And that 3 hours of her phone off was enough time for us to accept it. By the time she landed, we were all like, hey, this is a pretty good plan. I could see how this works.
I give myself an immense amount of credit. So, because my thought was, A1, you're going budget moment. This already sounds cheaper. And then the weekend and the lodging and the thing, this was a simplification going to a beautiful spot that is sentimental to all involved, It was a great plan. I smelled it immediately and was able to translate. And then Sister lands and everybody, and we are pumped. And it's no joke. They made, JT's mom made gorgeous cocktail napkins. This wedding was planned in less than a week and a half. And it was perfect. And so that changed to watch the two of you go, oh no, this is such a momentous occasion. How dare you rock the boat? And on every level, it turned out to be such a wonderful choice, change in the moment.
The takeaway from that real example is there was time to get on board before the change happened. So there was time for that acceptance that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. The quicker you can accept it, the better you can make sure the outcomes are positive, right?
Because she wasn't asking for anyone's opinion.
No, she was not. She was telling us what was happening.
She was notifying us of a change.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah.
And so, again, going back to sucky Brad that's going to close up shop.
Uh-huh.
And so, again, let's flip that on its head.
Okay.
Let's pretend that you kind of dislike Brad. And your disdain for Brad is shoved. You know, you talk about it around the dinner table, colleagues, you have some whispers. But you're like, my paycheck's great. My benefit's great. My best bud works here. So, but Brad sucks, and you've been, you know, and then you find out
this
you're fantasizing about I gotta get the hell out of this spot.
Yeah.
But you have these little tiny reasons that you deal with. You put up with this awfulness.
Uh-huh.
So the change comes that this is gonna come to an end. Your misery has an end date. How do you handle that?
I still freak out.
Yes, that's normal. I think that's exactly.
But I'm dead serious. Like, even if what I wanted, the change element of it is enough to get me all flipped and get me all out of sorts, and I will freak out.
So here is our power position. This is our moment of the freak out's going to happen.
Yeah.
The fear of change inspires the freak out. Now what can we do to make it suck less?
I don't know. I mean, I do. I know what I know what an expert would say, but I'm more curious.
What do I do versus what an expert would say? Exactly.
I know, but the way that I physically handle it. But I know that the answers to that question are that you have to have an extreme awareness of your emotions.
Oh, that is a really, really excellent. That should be number one on the list.
And I know that to be true. Because I teach it to other people. That doesn't make it incredibly easy to do.
Implement. Exactly. Because I was good. Like, I think about my reactions. I'm like, I don't want to be known as the flip-flop fantasize. You know, I want to present in a way that looks like, oh, I can handle that, even though I'm losing it like a normal person on the inside. And so.
Yeah. And so. That fear that comes with this change and the like fear is the root that I really sort of say when I'm facing a change, fear's the first thing, but it leads to a lot of other emotions, anger, frustration, things like that. And if I can understand that those emotions inside of me are something that I have control over, that I can actually dictate. I've always thought about this in other elements of my life, not change, because change is really hard for me, but fear is a powerful, powerful tool if you can learn how to use it the right way.
I love that because I agree that being able to harness, you know, identify, name your emotions. I love that you say you're kind of in control of those where I feel that they happen upon me and I'm lucky if I can give them a name tag.
Exactly. The control that you have over your emotions is being able to label them and understand what they're doing to your body physically.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by controlling your emotions, not whether you feel them or not. Being aware that they exist and understanding how they affect you. Because once you have that understanding, when you're looking at that change out there, or when I'm looking at that change out there and I feel that fear, if I can be conscious of how I'm feeling and how it affects my body, I can then dictate, am I going down a negative path and am I going to demonize my boss, or am I going to try to find a positive outlet for this?
Because maybe I'm reading too much in, but would you say that you are told information and then you have your energy is going to come out.
Right.
In some way. Like your fear, like that.
You're going to have a reaction.
You are going to have an emotional or physical, shit's going to go down.
Yes.
And so there, you think that that is then energy that you can sort of, you can train yourself perhaps to pick a path?
Exactly correct.
Okay, I like it.
But you mentioned the second part. Oh. There's a step one and there's a step two. This is what I would coach someone going through what I struggle with.
See?
Not dealing with change. And what I would say is the second step is you have to get that muscle memory of being outside of your comfort zone.
It's true that practice, and that seems
like it is practice,
a cliche thing, but the littlest tweak you can make on your comfort zone on a day-to-day basis does, if you never change, if you eat the same breakfast every day, drive the same route to work, have the same, hey, Mary, hey, Jimmy,
right,
conversation, no shame in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But when change happens, inevitably, the
exactly,
the explosion that you will have, that muscle memory that you're talking about, is I am going to get to the other side of whatever the ick is in between.
Absolutely. And what I mean by muscle memory is just like exercise or anything else that you do, when you do it over and over and over again, it becomes second nature and you don't have to think that hard about it and you just sort of react. And that's what I think you can build this with fear of change. I really do. I think what you can do is find a situation where you can be the dumbest person in the room.
I just recently, and I'm very proud, it's absolutely right, that I walked in to a public speaking group, which is something that I don't carry the same like old school fear, but it's still terrifying as hell.
Yeah, it's like the number one fear for people.
And so again, I don't consider this public. I'm not wearing shoes right now. And so this is not out there. And I walked into a group that was established and has been meeting for a long time. And I was like, hey, I'm Jordan. I'm new. I'm not going to be good at this. Can't wait to play with you guys.
Right.
And it was, that's my humor, is the way I handle change a lot too. Like, make a joke until I can buy myself time to figure out what I'm feeling.
Right.
And so I thought, I am going to self-deprecate a little bit, and not to the point of like, I don't know why I'm here. I'm not like, you know, I shouldn't even be in this room. Don't even call on me. Like, nothing like that. But I'm like, I'm here. I'm vulnerable. And please be nice. Like, you know, I kind of just like came in waving my little flag of like, yeah.
That's a perfect example of
and
what I'm talking about.
And I don't do that often. That's not a thing I jump at. But I was, you know, that's something I've felt in me that I'm like, this is important to me. I need to be more proactive in how I'm learning in that realm.
Those are exactly the steps that I take, because this is a struggle of mine. I think about that. I try to label my emotions when someone comes and tells me, hey, this big part of your life is about to change. I now do take that step back, try to analyze how I feel. And then I am trying to be more active about putting myself in situations that make me intentionally uncomfortable, to gain that muscle memory, because you do it more than me. And it's probably why you're better in this change sort of idea than I am. And I would like to find more avenues to do that in my life.
This episode of Let's Dig Into That is brought to you by...
Get this. If you're ready to tiptoe into your emotions and take advantage of the power available to those who can put words to how they feel, download Instant Awe, the app guaranteed to open your mind and ultimately change your life, whether you like it or not. Awe, that feeling we get in the presence of something vast, the awe that challenges our understanding of the world. Just one click and boom, Instant Awe will astound you with the smallest, most deliciously random notions of awe. From a puppy learning to skateboard, to the miraculous mess of childbirth, ding ding, surefire wonderment. Moments of awe, the goosebumps and drop jaws, although remarkable in their own right, research suggests that experiencing awe may lead to benefits from happiness and health to generosity, humility, and critical thinking. For you brainiacs, shifts in neurophysiology include a diminished focus on the self, increased pro-social relationality, greater social integration, and a heightened sense of meaning. Get in touch with your emotions one mind-blowing click at a time. If you can sit in awe, you can sit in anger. Harness the power of having a clue about how you feel with Instant Awe. Tap into the reverence and dread by replacing natural phenomena with a 21st century app. It's Simply Sublime, Instant Awe, where we promise that a small change, a shift in thinking, leads to deeper connection and meaning. What an opportunity, because if, again, you have me at screw the fear word, but like if I could harness some energy, that is bigger. Like if we hit pause on that, if there is energy available, this change is coming. There is so much inherent opportunity. Like good and bad is going to come from whichever you buy this car or that one, good and bad. Damn it. We go cars again. I don't know why that happens.
Yeah, we got to come up with some better examples.
I'm not wearing shoes. I shouldn't be behind the wheel. And so, yeah. And so I think that I lost it. I'm so sorry, I got too excited about my cars again. But good and bad is going to come from like this one, the new shinier one that you really love the look of, the transmission.
Right.
You know, and so being able to know I have some power, I have some agency, and this is going to go down because a lot of, the change that we don't have any control over happens enough.
Yes.
But hot damn, am I tempted by the opportunity to feel more capable when I feel incapacitated by this, like the uncertainty, the unknown.
Right.
Because that's what change is I don't know how this ends.
So there are, exactly right. And there are experts on this, because this is something that I've truly tried to work on.
Oh yes, there's a book on our reading list. We'd love to brag about books we haven't read. It's
well, there was one excerpt that I read that I thought was so incredibly powerful. And let's get the book's title. It's Change Enthusiasm.
Yes.
Change Enthusiasm, Cassandra.
Worthy.
I thought this was such a great take on change. And she feels, it's her belief, that how you respond to change, being able to control your emotions, frame it in a positive light, and choose your path by recognizing how this makes you feel, it opens up opportunities. But she believes that how you respond to change in your life is the number one factor in how you will proceed to grow. That it is like the number one thing for your potential growth.
How you
respond and handle change.
That stomach dropping fear moment, what you do there.
Right.
Crazy. So again, fantastic human being, fascinated, book is on order as usual. But the full title, Change Enthusiasm, which I thought, I'm like, well, they high. Like, that's not a thing. I'm like, yeah, I can turn things into a grin, but that's a stretch. But the subtitle to How to Harness the Power of Emotions for Leadership and Success. All about that.
Absolutely.
How to harness the power of your emotions. And so.
Well, that's what it breaks down to, is the emotions are inevitable. Change is inevitable. How are you going to handle it?
And so she's doing the mind trickery of how can I make this situation, this change, this impulse, this little moment in time
for me. Exactly. How can I make this work for me? How can I make this pit of my stomach fear of what's to come work for me?
Do you have an example of maybe something that you would be willing to share on this is shitty, but I'm going to try to spin it positive?
Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty significant one.
Oh, but I should have classed up my lingo. Is there an experience in your life you'd be willing to share?
A couple of years ago, my dad passed unexpectedly. I've talked about it a little bit. But what I've realized in the 2 years since he passed is not only was that the worst thing that's ever happened to me, but it also might be one of the best things that's ever happened to me.
Do tell.
And the reason I say that is I had to change my perspective. I've had conversations with my mom and sister, and they completely agree. My dad was sort of the glue that held us all together. And when he passed, both my mom and sister moved to the East Coast, and we're all spread out, and it's a new dynamic. But I was forced by change to see a new side of who I was, because I used to look at my dad, and we didn't have a lot in common. You know, he tried to like sports because I was a sports guy, and, you know, we just didn't have a lot in common.
Got along, but not a lot of shared interest.
But since he's passed, I've noticed how similar we are in our minds and our hearts, the places that actually matter.
That's super true. That, like, when you walk into a room, the energy you would both bring is that very approachable, comforting smile. Like, that is there's a warmth about you.
Right. And so when this really
interesting,
when this really horrible change happened upon my life, I now sit with the feelings, the grief, the anger, the sadness. And I think about how I can make them work for me. And what it really does is I'm angry because I don't get to experience this, but hey, I am that. I get to be that. And I didn't see that way before he was not around. You know, does that make sense?
Well, it's really difficult when we have to carry, again, no matter how much work you do on yourself, when your parental unit enters the room, you might
still
be able to
take a kid.
You're
yeah.
still a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
You're still that crazy lunatic 8-year-old on the inside. So grief being a unique point there, it's incredibly powerful. But do you think that change is something that is you do on your own then? Because that's something you recognizing, like this event, this tragedy, your life changed forever, undeniably.
Right.
So is that done? Is change something that is a one-man show?
I would say that there's two answers to that. I'm going to break your question down a little bit because the answer is yes, you need a community around you.
Okay.
However, anytime we're talking about change and you want to take this massive change in your life and apply it and make it a positive or at least try to stay on a path or find a new path to positive, it starts with yourself. And we talk about AA and addiction a lot.
I was gonna say, the one that comes to mind is the choice or decision.
No one's ever going to change unless they make the decision to do it themselves. And that's just true. I don't know how else to put it. And but once that change happens, then it requires a community.
That's the non-drinking life that we are leading is, you're right, that we took incredibly different approaches.
Yes.
We both had different, our own personal reasons, but a beautiful opportunity to be kind of a united front in that path. But it was support, but I agree that you weren't going to tell me.
No, you can't change someone's mind like that. And it could, and take it outside of addiction and alcohol. Like, say you're dealing with someone who constantly interrupts you.
Hey, that feels pointed.
I'm not pointing at you. It's my promise. But if you constantly interrupt them because they interrupted you, there's no fixing the problem. That's only going to fix by when they recognize, hey, I'm not getting anywhere in my conversations. I didn't even hear what so-and-so said. It's got to come from within. You cannot coach someone into changing because you want them to. Mm-hmm. They have to want it.
I couldn't agree with you more that, I was feeling like change has to be a group effort, but no, it is your fear, your energy with Brad giving you the terrible news of your business closing that you have to choose. There will be folks impacted.
Of course.
Around you.
And the power of community needs to be emphasized too, because once you've made that shift in your mind and you've decided to recognize your emotions and try to go down a positive path, the more people you can include in that, the more likely you are to find that positive path. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sense of belonging. Because you can find community anywhere. There's even the group of smack talking on Brad. Like, you can find your
totally.
Tribe
of
just being pissed about change and do that as well. I'm going to switch. Can I take a tiny shift? Because I can't help but think of embracing change. Like, this whole, and it's like wellness and well-being and all of the stuff we're all supposed to be, if you're not in it, it's coming at you. We're all in this personal development and personal growth. And while we are a part of that conversation, it is for our own sanity that we're working through some crap.
Yes.
And so hopefully it all goes away. But in the spirit of embracing change, do you think this like personal growth culture we're in, is that real change? Or are we like quick fixing? Like, is this authentic? Like, if I want to change something about myself and I've done it, I've identified emotions and I'm doing it just for me and I'll bring in my community,
is that real, basically?
Yeah.
You know, we are in an interesting culture and we're a part of it. We talk about the issues that we face and how we got through them because we hope that it helps other people. I'm going to say basically the same thing I did the first time. It's got to be your decision as a person. If someone's listening to our podcast in hopes of making that change, nothing we say is going to gear them towards making that change. It's got to be the decision that comes within.
Right.
And so we started this by talking about there's a lot of things changing in the world. But change, like, who was it? What's the famous Gandhi quote? Like, the most...
Oh, be the change you
want to see in the world.
Yeah.
It all starts with yourself. Like, truly, it all starts from within. And the only time change happens for yourself and personal growth. And I don't care how much podcasts you listen to or how many memes you saw about the positive light. It's got to be your choice. You have to make the commitment. You have to recognize the emotions that you feel and choose your path. See it as an opportunity as opposed to a setback.
I love it. Love it coming out of your mouth, too. I feel like that was my whole plug. I'm out there spinning signs. Let's make this an opportunity. And so I think that systemic change.
Oh, man.
I know.
Change is a big topic. You're
right. Today, you learned a new word.
Fractal.
Yeah. And so I wanted you to have an opportunity to utilize it. And I think that change is such a perfect primo moment.
Well, again, systemic change, if you want to change a big system, it starts within.
Change yourself.
It starts with the micro changes. It really does. That's how it has to happen. But I was intrigued by this word and this concept of basically a cyclical
fractal
pattern, basically, is what it's a mathematical term first. But
it was coined by a mathematician who I don't have their name, but a fractal theory of change.
Fractal theory of change, which again, I'm sort of paraphrasing and struggling. I don't know if you have it written down.
What I have here is JT just walked in the room and said, I think this is interesting AF, is what he hollered. And I was like, I'm going to make a quick note of that. But I do have to change the world, change yourself, then change how you work in small groups before you enact big change. Patterns in nature scale upward and downward. It is said that change is fractal.
Is that not interesting as F?
Is that not just blowing your damn mind?
I learned a word today, and I couldn't believe that I hadn't heard it before. But, I mean, the concept is super simple. Start with yourself. Work to a larger situation. You got to build is basically what it's saying.
And they use pattern for what we're kind of utilizing energy.
Right.
That will flow, and then you have that. I'm a Fibonacci freak. How did I not know fractal? It was a new word for me, too.
Yeah, we probably should have done more math classes in college, but I did a lot of writing classes, not a lot of math. But
a lot of philosophy and women's studies, I know.
As far as like a systemic change and changing the big things, the whole concept of fractal just means change is inevitable. That's the pattern of aspects. Is you are going to face constant change throughout your life. It's going to happen.
Mother Nature said so.
Exactly. Mother Nature said so. That's the pattern that we're talking about. If you can change within yourself, then you can change within a group. Then you can change within whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, trying not to say the word government because that's
well done.
We ended it, but
nailed it.
Whatever you're trying to change on a bigger scale, it's got to start from the bottom up, and that's sort of what fractal.
I love it.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
The vocab. I can't help but think I'm going to make it a weird, like, personal ending moment.
Well,
but I'm thinking about how, again, first, like, marriage, divorce, illness, death. Like, those are the big changes that come. You know, having kiddos.
Death of a spouse, I think, is like the biggest one. Yeah.
Stress and change to a life for sure. Yeah, there's scales and points and things that you can look into. But I think about how it was a very slow burn at the end of my first marriage. Like, again, I've mentioned like self-sabotage. Like, we together created a misery atmosphere that was not great. And then this change enthusiast, Jordan over here, did nothing but continue the numbing, the lashing out, and the self-destructive path.
Uh-huh.
And then when my partner said, hey, game over, why was I not brave enough to, like, we both knew, what took so long? Is that like hope? This is probably for another time, but I'm fascinated. And it encourages me to want to take stock of why I'm continuing to put up, like.
We as people are truly programmed to find the easiest way.
Yep. Comfort zone. It's
survival at first. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we are programmed to make sure that we are not putting ourselves in unnecessary danger or risk. And so what I would say to you is that fear was strong.
The fear was so strong.
That fear is so strong. And then you can fall back on the justifications. And sometimes it's easier to be in a place where you can demonize and point fingers and talk to yourself in your head and get in those really negative headspaces. And to be honest, it's a temporary fix. It makes you feel better in the moment to have your little titty baby.
Right. It does.
It really does. You're like, oh, well, my solution to that problem was to have a tantrum, and now I feel better. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we can get stuck in that pattern as well, where it's the fear becomes overwhelming. It's kind of like what we talked about with chores, where you're like, oh my gosh, we got a landscape outside and you were currently mopping the floor and now you did none of it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I would look at that. Is it's almost like a crippling feeling, and you get stuck in the patterns that fix the problem right away, but don't fix it long term.
I think that's a great point. And also with change, if you're choosing to take steps in a new direction, what you can do to maintain some sense of normalcy and regularity and routine with that.
Absolutely.
Because when you are faced with a big upheaval and you have those to lean back on, and yeah, because acceptance, again, doesn't mean you have to like it.
Right. The acceptance part is usually not fun. It's probably the hardest part, for sure, when you experience a major life change, especially an unexpected one. The acceptance goes a long way, but that's a great point. A wonderful coping strategy is try to keep somewhat of the same routine. If you can do a lot of the things that brought you joy already in your life, it can make the element that you need to change feel less daunting. And you don't get in that, you know, yes, cycle of negativity that and makes it so you do no growing.
Right. Comboing that routine where you feel comfortable and you got your wits about you, you're in the zone. That's when you have the opportunity and power to put yourself in a position to be more vulnerable on purpose.
Yes.
To toe in the water and just dip into when you have, and then that's that muscle memory you're talking about when it comes, that you will be a little bit better prepared. I have got to read Cassandra Worthy's book. I'm so excited. Cassandra, come visit us.
Right. Well, how interesting is it? We always share our successes. Going back to community, like what we talk about with people is the
generationally.
Generationally, yeah. Like all we talk about is the things that we did well. Imagine if your grandparents shared with you their failures.
That is amazing. Like you started the sentence. I'm like, holy. Well, and you know why they don't? Because you're embarrassed. You're reliving, and Grandpa all doesn't want to go into that vulnerable shame spot of when he wasn't, you know, the strong individual that you've grown to love. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
But everyone here at Let's Dig Into That knows that vulnerability is how you actually build connection.
Can you imagine that bond that would form?
If we actually shared our failures first.
So our new platform is, yes, failures first. Yeah. I love it.
All right, we're just about out of time. You asked me a tough one and I answered and I kind of let you off the hook.
Biggest
change that you've had to go through and how you handled it or how you were attempting to handle it? Like, care to let the audience in on anything?
Biggest change? I mean, I feel I moved to the house that we live in.
Yeah, that was a big change.
It was a huge change and I did it very quickly. Mm-hmm. It was a very symbolic of my personality where the view took my breath away and I was like, oh man, yeah, I'm moving. I've mentioned that here on this platform before that I knew I was going to be able to make it work. I wasn't biting off more than I could chew, but it was going to be a huge project, hence the landscaping, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And then surprise, turns out my roommate, not a good person. And I am now solo in this very team required.
And you guys had a business venture plan.
Business venture, like, and this is all mine, my ownership by design to protect my little sacred heart. And so I moved to a new town where I knew one person and 3 months and no job, left my career, ditched it all, and then was fully freaking solo.
Yeah.
And wow. That is not uncommon. People move for, you know, I move for love or I move for the new job and then it falls apart. And so like this is, I'm a little bit, you know, kind of
knowing what
cliche in that regard. But holy crap, was that an opportunity to go let the fear freaking take over and win and be like, what the hell have I done? And I was like, I am going to figure it out. Like I have to. And so it was a lot of lying to myself in a positive way of like, oh, you got this.
Uh-huh.
You got this, but I had to take the reins on the fear or that would have been a crippling moment for me on change.
Gotcha. And so
I felt had, I felt hosed, I felt so stupid and shame on all, you know, and I just, yeah, how'd I get myself into this mess? And I did it all while drinking heavily. And so, you know, that happens too. But yeah, it was a huge wake up call on I need a purpose.
Hindsight 2020. Like, how great is it that it led you to all the things that we're doing now? You actually,
here we are.
You seized the opportunity.
This wasn't a plan.
And it wasn't easy.
No, it wasn't easy. It was like being thrown in a spin cycle of change. And not like, okay, I've got these, I've fleshed out my four scenarios. This was, I'm at a high velocity spin and I'm going to get shot out. And so, yeah.
Is there anything that you know now that you wish you knew then?
I think I really would have benefited from taking the time to articulate and figure out with myself what those emotions were. That self-awareness is still and will forever be.
It's hard. It's
I
not
changed
an easy
my mind a lot too. Self-awareness. I mean, 3 hours later, I'm a new woman, reinvented myself.
Just take a nap.
And so had I been able to say, okay, what you're, am I most fearful of how my image in this community is best laid plans and total failure? Am I most scared of a financial burden? Am I most scared of, you know, just, yeah, but it was a lot of, what was, oh my God, how will I ever save face? Been, holy crap, I have the most incredible opportunity to kind of decide what I want.
This house was built for a writer. Is sort of what you honed in on.
When I saw the view the first time, I was like, I'm going to write a book in this house, is what I said out loud.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing.
Whew, this has been exciting.
And well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well done for you too. You have come a long way that I hope that you're reading my face and he's like, she's not freaking out. Things will be all right. But you have come a long way.
Yeah. I don't think that I freak out quite as
and
much.
I love your
anymore.
Meltdowns.
And it's the little ones that get me.
The little ones are a hoot.
Crisis situation. I got it on lock. Restaurants closed. I'm a titty baby.
That's true. If you cancel a flight and we have to suddenly rent a car and drive six states, JT and I are traditionally way okay.
Yeah.
But if the restaurant is closed.
And so that's my opportunity to build the muscle memory.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying is like, I got to use those opportunities and build the muscle memory so I'm better suited to handle the change in my life.
And then again.
That's my takeaway from this
enthusiast. She did not title a book, our friend Cassandra Worthy, Change Master, Change Guru, Change Junk. You know,
yeah.
It is enthusiasts. Like, this is hard work and totally worth it.
Right. The way you respond to change, according to that book, is the number one factor that determines how you will grow as a person.
Your potential is tied up
in
how you handle change.
Wow.
Whew.
Good stuff, baby.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Please keep the question and inquiries coming. You guys have inspired such dynamic, thought-provoking, silly conversations. We truly are honored.
Means the world to us, truly does.
Thank you. Well, I am Jordan.
And I'm JT.
Until next time.
Be brave, beautiful friends.